Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH and our special broadcast on Mother's Day, which aired in 2018. It was then that we premiered the film, Heart of a Shepherd. In the program today, you will hear Hank speak about this special film, which is still available today. Please contact us for more information. We are grateful for the many ways you communicate with us, sending letters and notes, visiting our website, calling us, and on our Facebook page. A viewer in Indiana recently wrote, "Pastor Salem has left a wonderful legacy to the world with his precious sermons. He is greatly loved and treasured by all who are privileged to hear his sermons. May God continue to bless the ministry of CWH." And from Minnesota, "I still watch Pastor Salem's uplifting sermons that are truly centered on actual words written in the Bible. Because of your programs, my week starts with the correct frame of mind." Today's message, Jochebed and her baby. Pastor reveals what we see in this story and how we can apply it to our own lives. God bless you and happy Mother's Day.
I'm Pastor Salem and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I'm always happy when the weekends come because we're all getting together all over the world. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? And someday all of us, you have to trust Jesus, have to have Jesus, and then we'll all be in heaven together. So we're just rejoicing as we come today. And oh, we've got a wonderful sermon today. It's about the baby Moses. And everybody loves the story. And so I hope you call a friend, say, tune us in. Going to talk about a baby today. We're looking at Psalm chapter 94 today, beginning with the 11th verse. "The Lord knoweth the right thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom chasteneth the Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake the inheritance. But judgment shall return unto the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow him." And so, dear Heavenly Father, we are here to follow you. We're to walk with you. We are to have you be our shepherd, and we'll be the sheep of your pasture. We thank you that you love everybody, and all who come unto you will know and never cast away. You never turned anybody away, that no matter what their sin was, you always accepted them. And oh, dear Jesus, may multitudes today open their heart to Jesus and ask you in. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us, "In the Garden," and God bless you, Jan.
Within my heart is ringing.
Thank you, Jan. It's wonderful to walk with Jesus. I tell you, I walked with the Lord now almost 87 years, and there's a great joy. There's just a sure assurance, and there's a sweetness about the Lord. And you get so you just love Him. And I've said it so many times, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know Him. And that's our main emphasis, one of the main emphases of the Christian Worship Hour, get to know Jesus. Not know about Him. Goodness grief, the devil knows about Him. The devil knows more about Him than we do. But we have to know Him personally. That is, there has to be that time when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sin. And you promise to turn from your sin and serving the best you can. You'll never be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you're serving the best you can. Then you thank Him. And He's been with me now 87 years. And I love Him more every day. So that's our prayer. Well, we're looking at some of the letters. And today, and by the way, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to check that out. But we're looking at some of the letters, and I just thank you for writing, and I hope that you'll just continue doing that. We read every letter we get, and we get a ton of them, but we never get tired. And if it's a question about something theological, we'll try to answer every letter we get. Our first one is from Boca Raton, Florida. Listen to this. My mother turned 100. Sometimes she couldn't get it together to go out to church. Now she is 101. And we are happy to worship with you folks on Sundays. So we just wanted to say thank you for being our church. We appreciate your messages and straight shooter approach. That is, you tell it like it is. God bless you. Well, we are just thrilled to have you worshiping with us. And just think, 101. I'm jealous of this lady. I'm just jealous of her because I'm only 96 and she's got me beat. And so, but I'm rejoicing with her. God bless this dear lady. Here's Watertown, South Dakota. Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour and for the new song each month. I read them over and over. It means a lot to me. Now, what is the new song? Well, the new song is a song we get when we come to Jesus, and He gives us new life and new song and new goals and new aim in life and everything. And so we the little Bible study. It's a little Bible study. This month, the month of May, we're having our studies about let your light shine. And then, of course, we have scriptures, and you can use it as a Bible study. Some use it for Sunday school classes. We have people in prison who use it. And you say, oh, I want to subscribe to that. How much is a subscription? What does it cost me? Now, you're not going to believe this, but it doesn't cost anything, nothing. We are so good. We are so big-hearted on this place. I think we're going to go broke, but we're going to go broke big-hearted, I can tell you that. And what we do is we'll set it free and postpaid. And then, of course, we'll every week it'll be different. Every month it's a different study. And I just am sure it'll be a blessing to you. You write to us. I'll give the address in just a few minutes. Clearwater, Florida. I look forward every week to hear you. You stick to the Bible. Thank you for that. Pray for my family. My son stopped coming to see his grandma. Now, I put that in there just because of that. You don't have your grandchildren go to see your grandma or your grandpa, and shame on you. I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-grandfather. And if I couldn't see my grandchildren, it would break my heart. And I don't know. I suppose if something's happened, I suppose grandma tripped you or something or did something bad, awful bad. But learn to do a little forgiving if she did. And I'm going to tell you something else. These grandchildren, you take them to see their grandparents, and they can learn. Those grandparents have a little wisdom. They're the veterans. They've been through the battle of life, and they can give encouragement and direction and help to these children. I just can't imagine my grandson not coming to see me. I have 12 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren, and I'm on speaking terms with everyone. So I just give this another thought and go and see Grandma, dear Lord. Here's Norwood, North Carolina. I pray to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and please pray for many other lost souls. Please pray for 2 million lost souls to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Pray for more partners and donations for them to double and multiply. And well, that's what we do. We're just praying. That's our business, is to bring people to Jesus. And then it's to help people. You know, God says, comfort ye my people. That's what he told Isaiah. And so we comfort people. Sometimes some Christians going through some hard times, and we think of the persecuted church. Oh, we pray for them every service. Every service we have, we pray for the different parts of the world. And we have an organization. We have the 50 places in the world where the church is persecuted. We go down that list and pray for them. And so just to do this, well, this is what he says. Pray more for partners and pray for donations, that they double and multiply. And so, of course, we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And I know you're thinking, oh, yeah, I know. I'll send money and they'll live high and they'll live high and mighty and they'll have a big house and they'll have boats and they'll have planes and everything else. Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We're a member of an international organization called an organization where they check every bill we pay, they check every penny we get, and it's called the International Council for Financial Accountability. And we hope that you'll just know that you can get that on the website, and you can check it out, and you can know just exactly where we're at. So you can think about that as we give. I'll give your address a little later. Here's Hillman, Michigan. Dear friends in Christ, I so enjoy your sermons on our local television station. I've gotten away from my walk with Jesus since I was a child. I wonder every day about what I've missed in life. I regret not having my walk with Jesus. In close, please find contribution to your continued work for the Lord. It isn't much, but hope it helps folks like me. Bless you for your continued work getting the message out. God be with you. And so here's a lady, and she's thinking about how she's drifted through life, and maybe she backslid. You know, that can happen to any of us. There's none of us, you know, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And none of us is beyond the tempter. And the devil, I'm going to tell you, he's not afraid to tempt you. He tempted to look at he when he wanted to have somebody deny the Lord. He went to the treasurer for the organization, for the apostles. And when they took their money, they says, now who's the most trustworthy? Who can we trust with this money? And they picked Judas Iscariot. And so then the devil comes to Judas Iscariot, and he works on him, and he works on him, and he falls, and he fails. And then when you think of the apostles, you think of who was the strongest? Who was the one that was stood up the strongest? Peter. And he tempted Peter, and Peter denied Jesus and swore he didn't even know him. And that's not the end of the story. You know what the devil did? He went to the Son of God and tempted him, Jesus. We have the story in the wilderness, at least 3 temptations and maybe more, I don't know. But don't you think for a minute he's not afraid to come and tempt you. He'll come, and we have the secret of success is stay close to Jesus. And don't trust the arm of flesh, because you're not as tough as you think you are. And just trust Jesus and lean on Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Read your Bible and pray and be in church and be active in church. Don't go to church to see what you can get. Go to church to see what you can give and how you can contribute. So just walk with the Lord and you'll find joy and peace. Now let's see. Here's Minot, North Dakota. I'm writing to have my name removed from your mailing list. I wrote to you some time ago about your teaching on eternal security. Since I don't believe in that, I won't be listening to you anymore. I wish you God's blessings. Now, this is from a lady, and I just admire this lady to no end, and I'll tell you why. There, see, we call eternal security. There are two teachings. There's only one teaching, and that is you accept Jesus. Now, after we accept Jesus, some teach that you can lose your salvation. And then we teach that you cannot lose your salvation. It's eternal life, and he holds us in his hand. We're not holding on Jesus. Jesus holds on to us, John 10:29. But I admire this lady because she did two things. She said, I wish you God's blessings. Now, that's a good spirit. And she sent a gift. But she's honest. She doesn't see it the way we see it. And so I hope that she'll maybe will kind of listen in a little bit, and maybe she can just keep thinking, you know, Bob, I'm saved and lost, and when we get to heaven, then we'll talk about it there, see. But I admire this letter. Here's Elmont, Montana. May God bless you all and all your families at Christian Worship Hour. Oh, look at here. Please pray for me. I am a sinner. I cuss. Well, God bless you. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We have so much profanity that it is a sad, sad commentary on America. And we have it on television, taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, let me tell you what God says. He says in Exodus 20, verse 7, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You're going to have to pay for that. God doesn't stand for that. And so, but maybe it isn't cussing. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's evil thoughts. Could you know what the Bible says? In Acts chapter 2, verse 10, it says, For whosoever shall keep the law in all points, but is guilty of one point, he's guilty of all. If we keep the whole law, but we're guilty in one thought, evil thought, we're guilty of all the Ten Commandments. And so what do we do about it? We go to Jesus, and we pray, and we ask him to help us to overcome this temptation. And help us to watch. And when we do use a cuss word or a slang word, then ask Jesus to forgive us. Or when we have evil thoughts. Those evil thoughts can come to us at any time. And so we need to just pray that God will forgive us. And then redouble your efforts not to do it. And you know what I'll bet? I'll just bet anything that this lady is in Montana is going to get so she doesn't swear anymore. I just believe she's going to have a victory. And God bless her. She's going to feel great about it. One more letter. Recent, and this is from North Pekin, Illinois. Recently, I've been forced into a divorce after 24 years that I didn't seek. I was blindsided, and I'm still recovering. It's been 5 years since she left. The divorce should be final soon. My point, I guess, is I'm lonely. I've been slipping hard. I'm drinking too much, smoking again, and would read anything you could send to help me get back on the track. Oh, here, this man are there. I love to preach because there's hope. There's hope. Jesus says, God tells us, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you just come to Jesus and you say, Dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And I don't care what your sin is. There's no sin too big. He'll wash you clean and he'll make you white. And he won't remember those sins anymore. So I sent literature. We sent literature to this man. We're praying for this man. You know what I bet? I bet he gets back to the Jesus, gets back into service. So that's why we're here. So now we just pray that you'll pray for us and help us in this work. Now we have Hank with us. Hank's been with us as far since we started, 39 years. And Hank's going to has a special announcement he's going to give. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. This past week, we celebrated the official release and premiere of the Christian Worship Hour film, Heart of a Shepherd, featuring the life and ministry of our pastor, Dr. Harold E. Salem. It's a chronicle of pastor's life from his youth throughout his pastoral career and then his longtime affiliation with the Christian Worship Hour. Heart of a Shepherd is an inspiring, heartwarming film. But more significantly, the film carries the most important message on earth. You may be a believer, but are not sure how to pass on the good news of Jesus to your family and friends. This film is a great way to do just that. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available on DVD from the Christian Worship Hour, and you can order it by sending a free will offering of any amount to the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota 57402, or by ordering it online at www.christianworshiphour.com. Thank you all so much, and God bless.
And thank you, Hank, and God bless you. And I hope everybody will pray for this film, because the goal is to bring people to Jesus. That's all we want, is to bring people to Jesus. So you pray for us. And again, I'll give you the address, because we need to hear from you. You need to pray and say, now, should we help this organization? Is this something you would want, dear Lord? And pray about it. And if he says, no, I don't want to have you any part of it, then just don't do anything. But if God tells you to, yes, I want you to support it, then you say, now, Lord, how much should I give? And I'll tell you what you do. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send a gift by getting onto the internet. And it's a miracle. It's just wonderful technology. And you get on there and you get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place, donate. And you just hit that donate button and you can give in your currency, where anywhere in the world, we'll get in an American currency and we can pay our bills. And in James it says, you have not because you ask not. And so we're asking. We have a need, and so we're asking you to help us. And then I want to tell you about the new song. It's a little Bible study. And this month of May, it's about let your light shine, let your light shine. And you just say, I'd like to have the new song. And we'll send it free and postpaid every month. I hope that you'll do that. And then if those of you who give, I know you're wondering, oh, I don't know, I've heard so many stories about how this money is squandered. And I just want you to know that we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. Every penny we take, every penny we spend, and we're clean as a hound's tooth, and we're proud of it. So if you send a gift, it'll go for one thing, the proclamation of the gospel all over the world. And so I want to give the address one more time, especially for those on shortwave, those on television, you've got the screen and all, but the shortwave people, and we cover 90% of the world's population shortwave. And you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we're just praying that you'll do that. So now I'm going to say a little prayer. Jan will play. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And we know that everything will be just fine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gifts, large or small, doesn't matter. Thank you for your people and their generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you and thank you for your help. Well, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, and this is the story of Moses. And beginning with verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, which the Egyptians, saying to do, were drowned. And so we're going to pray. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in India. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it is so reliable. Thank you that it teaches us so many lessons and gives us hope, gives us correction in life, Lord, sometimes, Lord, but it always gives us hope and assurance. And so we just pray today that as we bring this message, maybe some who are going through hard times will just open their hearts to you, Lord. And then maybe they don't have any hope in the world to come. And dear Lord, they're afraid of dying and they're tired of living and they're just despairing. And you are the answer. You are the key. And they would just come to you and whosoever will call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And they can find peace. I don't say they'll find riches. We're not all going to be rich, but we can all have peace, that beautiful peace that passes all understanding. And dear Heavenly Father, we're praying for the persecuted church in India today. We're thinking of them whose churches have been all burned down or decimated. Lord, we're thinking of some where their husbands have been put to death, and some of the wives, mothers have been put to death. Some of the children are orphans and don't know which way to turn, and they're afraid, Lord. And so we're praying that there'll be, I know that you take care of them. And I know, oh God, that you know all about this. And so I just pray you comfort those people and help. And dear Lord, help us as we see how they go through, that we'll be willing to stand up for you and that we'll be a shining light for you. And Lord, that we won't be afraid of what people say or what people think. Then just we'll stand tall, dare to be a Daniel, and stand true to you. So bless us, Lord, and use this to honor you. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For the message, Hank's going to sing, Always Be a Child. God bless you, Hank.
I was there when you drew the breath of life, and I could hear your voice the first time that you cried. And though you couldn't see me, I was very near, and there's something that I want you to hear. You will always be a child in my eyes, and when you need some love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're growing old, I hope you realize you will always be a child. in my eyes. I was there the first time that you prayed, and I heard all the promises you made. And when you fell before me, crying, "Father, I have sinned," I picked you up and held you close again. You will always be a child in my eyes. And when you need some love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're growing old, I hope you realize you will always be a child in my heart. You will always be a child in my eyes. And when you need some love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're growing old, I hope you realize you will always be a child in my eyes. You will always be a child in my eyes.
Thank you, Hank. And that's what we're going to be preaching about. Mother and her child, mother and little baby. The opening verses in Exodus chapter 2 tells us, "And there was went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." We're not given the names of the parents here, but the scriptures tell us the father's name was Amram and the mother's name was Jochebed. Between verses 1 and 2 of this passage I just read, 2 children are born. Moses is the 3rd child of the family. The 2, Miriam, was the firstborn. Aaron, the 2nd-born. And following the verse, birth of the first 2, there a terrible thing happened in the land in which they lived, which was Egypt. And the Pharaoh, the king of the land, we read, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now I want you to notice something. Wicked, pagan, heathen Pharaoh believed in abortion. You can mark that down. He's part of your company if you're in that group, and God have mercy if you are. Thus it was in the very midst of that storm. We read, "The woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months." According to the law of the land, the baby boy must be thrown alive and crying into the dark waters of the Nile River. That was the law of the king, and over and above the law of the king, to this woman there stood somebody else, another king, God Almighty. The midwives were instructed to kill every male child the moment it was born, but the midwives backed off and of that order because they feared God more than they feared the king. Jochebed and Amram defy the king's orders too. They fear God, but they love their they fear God and love their little baby boy. And to the parents, he's a beautiful child. And I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've seen a lot of children born, the firstborn and all the rest of them, and they're all beautiful. Ask the parents. They all think they're beautiful. But we know Moses was a beautiful baby because God tells us that he was a beautiful, godly, he was an exceptional appearance. He was a, some translated, handsome child. Some call he has rare beauty and a beautiful child. So the parents said they just love him anyway, no matter what he looks like. But Moses just took the cake. So the parents are going to defy the king. But what to do? Well, the first step is to they will hide the child at home. But that's only buying a little time, and precious little time at that. Because if they're going to look there, they're going to have to pray. They'll give them a little time to pray and decide what to do. And you can bet they did plenty of praying. Day and night they prayed for that little boy. And every time they walked by the Nile River, they must have dyed themselves. And perhaps they even saw an alligator, or maybe it was a log, and it looked like an alligator because of their awful imagination and fears. For 3 long months they agonize, and every day that precious baby gets stronger and his lungs develop. It seems at an accelerated rate. And every time Pharaoh's officers walk by their home, I'll bet Jochebed must have nursed that baby to keep him quiet. And Noah, he must have grown really on a good rate. But the handwriting was on the wall, and the time bomb was ticking, and the inevitable was approaching, and they just can play the game so long, and then they've got to do something. And if they don't do something, if they don't face the fact and do face the facts and do something with that baby, the whole family can be put to death. What are they going to do? They have no place. They have to place him in the Nile River. But they're going to do it on their own terms. And Amram goes to the river and he gets the strongest rushes he can find. And Jochebed weaves them into a little box, really a little coffin. And then so she daubs it without and within with pitch and with lime. And then like a mother bird, she lines that little coffin and makes it as soft as down. And then like a precious jewel, put it in its setting. The place she places the coffin. He places in the coffin her heart in the form of her baby. And then she bends over the little casket and she cries. And she gives it tears and it gives it kisses. I've seen it at funerals in my 74 years of the ministry. I've seen it 1,000 times. A husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandchild, bend over the casket and kiss that face and shower down kisses and tears. And I must have seen it 1,000 times. How, and I can be seek Jochebed bending over that little casket there, how she will caress that child, that beautiful child, and shed the tears and giving her kisses over and over, but she can't kiss him forever. And so Amram comes to her and says, you're going to have to take that baby down to that river. And so Amram, Jochebed, Aaron, and Miriam leave the home early in the morning while it's still dark, and they go down quietly down by the riverside. And very tenderly and very carefully, they place that little coffin in that wide open Nile River there in the reeds. And then Jochebed goes through it all again, and she kisses and she cries and she doesn't know which way to turn and her heart is breaking. But she, and then Amram has to take her by the arm and say, we've got to go. It's getting light. We have to get out of here. We can't stay any longer. And so they go. The parents cannot stay, but they leave behind Miriam. And they says, Miriam, now you hide here and you see what happens to this little child. See what happens to Moses and we'll go home. And they went home. Stay and watch your brother. See what happened. And the couple goes back home and Miriam stays behind, hidden and probably scared half to death and dying in her heart too. Then says a strange thing happened a little bit later. Pharaoh's daughter comes with all of her court. They come down to the river to bathe. But to no more has she gotten to the river's edge and she spies that little box that floating in the water over there. And so to her attendant, she will say, I will go and fetch that. Let me see what that is. What is that anyway? And so hence Moses gets the name to draw out of water. That's his name, and that's exactly what they did. And they bring the little casket that the princess opens it, and the baby, the beautiful baby, and that little baby does what every baby does. He cries. And when he cries, Pharaoh's daughter happens to be a woman, and she has a woman's heart. And when the baby cries, Pharaoh's daughter was captured, and she couldn't throw that baby into the Nile River either. And the only person in all the kingdom who could defy the king was the king's daughter, and she defied him. Pharaoh's own daughter decides no alligator is going to touch this little one. And Pharaoh's daughter can readily see that this one of the Hebrew babies. And how can she care for the nursing for this baby? And then Miriam comes on the sight. And she's prompted for this and she comes to Pharaoh's daughter. And listen to her, she says, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter immediately says, go and get someone. And where does Miriam go? She goes straight home. And when she gets home, Jochebed is probably there praying on her knees and crying and weeping her heart out. And the mother comes, and Pharaoh's daughter gives her the child and says, take this child and nurse it for me. And I've read some places where the devil played a trick on Pharaoh's daughter and said that she didn't know that what was happening here. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to tell you this. Everybody, nobody fooled that Pharaoh's daughter one bit on the banks of the Nile. When Jochebed took that little treasure and hugged him to his breast and cried over that baby and hugged her, don't think for a minute Pharaoh didn't know the whole story. That's the mother right there, if there ever was one. And she says, yes, take the child away and nurse it for me. I'll give you your wages. And as the story goes, the woman took the child and nursed it. And that's the story. Now, what do we learn from this story? I put down some things. First of all, look at the providence of God. Over and over in this story, the providence of God shines through. God is there. God is control, as he is in all things in this world. Nothing happens that he can't handle. Just the story of Jochebed and Moses. How could they conceal the baby for 3 months? How did they keep him quiet for 3 months? God helped him to do that. And when they finally, that Jochebed places the boat little in the river, they pray and they pray. But to that spot, that very spot, that exact day, that exact hour, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. How could that be if I've seen the Nile River? It's huge. It's monstrous. And in that whole river, this woman comes to one spot and finds that little ark among all those rushes. You think that's just happened? It's the hand of God Almighty. And that wonderful God that does that all of the time. I think we would be amazed if we knew how many times God watched over us and how God took care of events in our life and watched and cared for us. Learn from this, my friends, to trust God, to lean upon God, the hand of God. And when something happens and you don't understand, don't shake your fist at God and say, why? Open your heart to God and say, what do you want to teach me, dear Lord? I know it's your hand. Not one thing can happen. Like with Job, Satan can't even touch him. Unless God allows it, and he can touch him, but he can't take his life. God is in control. And then the second thing I want to show you is that we always need to trust in God. Jochebed and Amram did that fully. They hid him. They made the ark. They did everything they could. But they came to their wits' end, and they couldn't do anymore, and they cast themselves upon God. And that's the way we have to live, dear friends. Get out and do some work if you possibly can. Make things happen as possibly can, but there's going to come times when you can't do anymore, and you give it to God. Just this last letter last week, and I didn't read it because I didn't want somebody to maybe track it down or know she lives in that area. But she says, I have a grown daughter and she isn't saved. Then what can I do to help her to come to Jesus? And I've answered her and I told her, honey, you can't do anything, but you can pray and maybe leave some literature around or something like that, but pray. And I've seen God bring people to Jesus Christ long after mother's been gone to heaven, dad's been gone to heaven. They thought of their mother, they thought of their dad, God's still answering those prayers. And so count on prayer. And that's what we're told here. The book of writer of Hebrews says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. They're not afraid of the king's commandment. You can't go wrong trusting God. And then I put down another thing. I put down someday, like Jochebed, you're going to have to place your baby in the child in the river. Someday, sometime, you're going to have to let go of your little one. And that's what Jochebed did. Every day, every hour, somebody's placing their child into the river of life. And the little girl, the little boy is a young man. And they're packed up and they got their suitcase and they're going. And out there in the river of life are the crocodiles, the cults and the unbelief and the liquor and the tobacco and the drugs and the pornography and all sorts of things. And as St. Paul said, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Yes, you'll have to put your baby in the river of life someday. And I want to say a word of hope to you right now. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of the future. Give your children to God. They're a gift from God to you. They don't belong to you anyway. God just loaning those babies to you. And if you have, oh my God, I think of those people that take the lives of those babies. You better get to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. But you could just teach them about the Lord and go to Sunday school with them and go to church with them. Watch what literature they have. Watch what friends they have. Watch what they read. Train them. Teach them. Just take them like your computer and computerize them so that this is right and this is wrong and this is God and this is good. And those things will stay, and you train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, they'll not depart therefrom. And I just want to throw this in. Don't never run down your pastor before your children. Don't tell your pastor, oh, he's no good, or he doesn't have a good sermon, or she's this, or she's that. And I'll tell you why. Because that precious child of yours is going to have that pastor preaching, and he's going to say, don't you try liquor. And they'll say, oh, Dad says he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. Don't pay attention to him. If you need to talk to your pastor, get off in a corner and talk to him. But pray for him first. Stand with him. Never criticize it. That child is listening all the time. And so this man, Moses, here he is. And he has to, and God, and so they take him. And they take him, and they say, come to get him. He's about 6 years old. And they take him, and all of the magicians, and all of the professors, and all of the people of Egypt, they pound it through his head. You're an Egyptian. You're an Egyptian. And this is all about this. But what does Amram and Jochebed told him? Oh, that old mother says, no, Moses, you're a Hebrew. Don't you forget you're a Hebrew. And when the testing came, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he could have been Pharaoh of Egypt, but he turned his back on it. He had no part of it. And he took his place with the Hebrew slaves. So you teach your children. And when you put them in the river of life, they train up a child the way he goes. And when he's young, old, he'll not depart from it. Sometimes there's exceptions, but not very many. They'll usually stay with it. But I'm going to ask you something. You can be like Jochebed and teach him about Jesus, wonderful Jesus. But you can't teach him anything. You can't teach your children, really teach them, unless you know Jesus. That was the big thing in my life, was my mother. And she taught me to trust Jesus and love Jesus and reverence the Bible. And she did it because she knew Jesus and trusted Jesus. And you've got to have Jesus to help you. And you're saying, oh, I wish I did have Jesus. But I don't know. How do you get Jesus? He's away off in heaven. How do I get Jesus? And the scriptures tell us, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And so you say, how do I receive Jesus? Well, how do you receive anybody? They knock at the door and you open the door and you say, come in. In Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, God says, Jesus says, I'm standing at your house. I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. And I'll fellowship with him and he with me. But you've got to ask Jesus. He will never knock the door down. He's not an intruder. He's not a trespasser. He knocks on the door with a broken heart. But you have to open your heart and say, dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I need your help. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin, dear Jesus. And I'll forsake those sins because I know they're wrong. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can. You'll never be perfect, but I'll serve you the best I can. You tell him that. Come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you all of my life the best I can. Then you thank Jesus. And you know something? The moment you make that one breath, you are born again. And Jesus Christ is in your heart and life. It happened to me 87 years ago. And that dear Jesus has never left me. And he's helped me through life, and I made my sins aplenty and aplenty mistakes, but he never left me. He stayed with me, and I came back and walked with him. You make that prayer now. If you make that prayer, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And you just send us a gift. And if you don't have any money, just write and we'll send you some literature to get you started. No matter where you are on the face of the globe, we'll send it to you. Pay the postage ourselves. You write to us and let us know. And if you want to, you can get the new song. But just write, Christian Worship Hour. Giving it again, especially for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you right now. They're making that prayer. They're entering the kingdom of God, and you're going to help them all through life. And Lord, I pray for the people that are on sick beds and those who are shut in and those who are lonely and those who are hurting. In this wicked world, so many, and help them just to love you and trust you, and you'll comfort their hearts and you'll help them. And you said, you never leave them or forsake them. Best Bless the young people, Lord, as they face their trials and their temptations, and the children, the precious children, that they'll come to Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just praying for you and praying that you'll come to Jesus, that you're right. And we're praying that God will help you and watch over you. I know that he will. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And that's the good news of the gospel. He'll never turn anybody away. You come to him. He loves you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God knows I love you. And so you can love back a little bit and write and trust and put your faith in the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.